Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Oh, what is up? Welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. It is a Tuesday here, and as always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. We're going to get started today by talking about Siri and some more AI stuff. I know there's been some inklings, I don't know about full reports, but definitely some rumors regarding Siri and a possible upgrade to the capabilities there. Some news out of the Sony regarding the PlayStation and kind of, you know, those these new, I don't know what we call them, or at least the fourth gen or what is third gen consoles that we have now, and the lifespan of those and what's going to be happening in the future regarding those kind of consoles. And then also the news that Mark Zuckerberg did have his meeting in or with England. It was I believe it was over video chat. Not quite the 10-hour charade, I don't know, you can call it or whatever you want to call it, that he had in D.C. with the United States politicians, but did have a chat over with the those lawmakers from London. All right, we're gonna jump right into the Siri news. But yeah, there is definitely I don't want to call it concrete, but it's pretty much, other than Apple actually walking up on stage and announcing it, which they're going to do on June 4th during the big WWDC, Apple WWDC event that is going to be on June 4th. So they're going to announce that Siri will be getting a facelift, a bit of a upgrade and improvements. This is obviously, well, I mean, there's no real question here regarding why. It's because it needs it. But obviously, this is something that Apple's fallen behind. They didn't really come out on the right foot when it comes to these assistants or whatever it is. Obviously, Siri was one of the first ones that we saw work well in general, but then they were quickly passed up by the Google Assistant. And then, I know there's different, obviously, areas where where you can see this kind of service, whether it's on your phone or on these smart home devices. Another thing that people are thinking that Apple may have messed up on was when they decided to start selling their HomePods originally as more just the speakers. I know the high-end speaker, listening to music, all smart, versus just specifically selling it as a smart speaker, a smart device, like you see the Amazon Echoes and the Google Homes, which are specifically for, I mean, not specifically, you can obviously listen to music on them. I have an Amazon Echo, listen to music on it all the time, tell Alexa to turn on some tunes, but we use it a lot for, I mean, it's not a speaker, it's not really known as a speaker, it is a smart device that has a speaker, and can play music. Obviously, it's compatible with all your music playing apps or what have you. So I just think that Google is finally getting into this realm of where they're going to have much more advancements to their AI and to their AI assistant capabilities. As far as what's going to be happening to Siri, there are reports out that Siri would be getting a new voice. And then also that there could be some new hardware to these HomePods, whether they're going to come out with a new line of these HomePods. I know that they were behind on the kind of the release of that. They were behind on the fact that, oh, we're going to put an advanced AI device or AI assistant in this tech. I don't know. Apple, I've always thought that they kind of take their own time, try to perfect things. I think this is one where they already had the idea. They had Siri. They had the first ever really groundbreaking AI assistant. Obviously, now we have Cortana and Alexa and whatever Google wants to name their device. But Apple, they, you know, they kind of have to get their stuff together. I think this year we're finally going to see. And maybe they just leapfrog them right back. They got leapfrogged by Alexa, Amazon, and Google. I don't want to say it was did you put Windows in there too with Cortana? I think Cortana actually was pretty good. But the thing is, the only real company that can say they're competing with Apple that has both the cell phones and the AI is Google, because of this, I mean, they put the Google Assistant obviously in all the Android phones. So if you have an Android phone, I mean, you're going to have that Google Assistant versus having Siri in your iPhone. But I think the big deal here is, I think this is not just for the phones. I think Siri's, I don't want to say reached her capability. I'm calling it her, but whatever. You can have it with a guy voice if you really wanted to. If you have Siri, yeah, I don't think it's Reese's capabilities on the phone, but they're really trying to chew this change to make upgrades to the capabilities on the Home app or the whatever the Home Pods. That now I guess they're rapidly shifting over the marketing scheme to be sold as these smart speakers, just like the. Or smart home devices, just like the Google Assistant with the Google Home and the Amazon Echo. So, which have both gotten, I think the Echo definitely has gotten some changes. They have smaller ones now. The Google Home, they have different, I mean, I think Amazon has a bunch of different kinds of designs you can buy when it comes to the actual hardware, the physical thing that you put on your counter or whatever, your desk in your house, but I think Apple is due to come out with a new one of those as well. As in now we're getting into those the smart displays and with all the screen little screens in the middle of them, so they can actually have. I mean, the AI can actually have some sort of display to show versus just the voice. It'll be visual and audio. So whether I mean. We're not quite sure, obviously, what Siri is going to be getting as far as the fact that, I mean, obviously going to be getting smarter. We saw all this stuff being released from the direct competitors with Apple, and the fact that, I mean, Google has the Duplex device, Microsoft Build came out, and, I mean, they already, there's been reports out saying that Microsoft also has an AI bot that can call and talk to humans, just like the Duplex scan that we saw at the Google I/O a couple weeks ago. But whether it's obviously going to be more accessible for Siri to get into everybody's home, they're going to change their price point. I know Apple isn't really afraid of having their premiums, but the fact that they're kind of in the back seat right now, or in second place, or on the outside looking in, or whatever cliche you want to say about the fact that Google, that Apple is not in the lead when it comes to this stuff. They're not really in direct competition yet with the Google Home and Amazon Alexa or the Amazon Echo. Because they just haven't gotten to that realm yet. I think they're really the first ones to perfect the phone AI, getting Siri to, you know, have the voiceless commands and do all the things you need her to do on your phone. And they kind of just like got kind of left in the dust when it came to these HomePods. But you never know. I mean, with these updates, iOS 12 update, you're probably going to see definitely some changes from Siri. And upgrades, and possibly even a leapfrog action when it comes to the fact that it's going to be better than the other two devices. That's what Apple is. They're never really in a hurry. They just want to make it better than everything else on the market, and they've been able to do that. So I know that it's going to be announced June 2nd. So we don't have much long to wait. I mean, June 4th, sorry, June 4th. We don't have much long to wait. Obviously, there's going to be that WWDC keynote for 2018. It's going to be over there down in Apple headquarters. So everybody should be sure to tune into that. I know I'm going to be paying attention to that. I think that's the thing is, if you, for those of you guys out there, let me know. But this is a big deal. Obviously, would you rather wait for Siri for a phone, or you want it for the, would you, or just go buy a Google Home, or would you wait for the Siri to be updated to get a HomePod? That's the thing. Is it worth waiting to get that Apple device with Siri on there? I'm thinking that if you have an iPhone, I think Apple probably would be like, okay, well, maybe if they have iPhones, they'll wait and get the HomePod with the new Siri, because then they'll get new Siri on their phone. And I mean, if there's going to be some sort of compatibility between your phones and these HomePods when it comes to the whole talking, when you talk to it and everything with Siri, obviously. With the, when it comes to being from the same kind of company, the products from the same company, you expect some sort of compatibility. And with this update, we'll be seeing that. So this comes from, as far as consumer habits, people with iPhones, I would not be surprised if they start waiting. I mean, Apple probably has sold its fair share of those HomePods, which I'm sure can be updated just the same as the phones can. We'll probably see probably a little influx when it comes to the fact that their sales when the new Siri update is made. And we'll see, obviously, if they're going to come out with a new line. I mean, Siri actually was the one. They had it, all the leaks and stuff like that. You can ask Siri right now, honestly, if you have an iPhone, you can talk to Siri and you can say, tell me about WWDC, and it'll trigger her, trigger Siri to start telling you about all these teasers and such regarding the updates that'll be happening coming up at the end of the, or the beginning of the next month. So, or whether, I mean, I don't know. Usually they come out, I guess they'll be coming out, the iOS 12 usually comes out with when the new phones come out, so they'll probably be in September, but they're going to announce what the features will be on it in June. But then again, so they might also, I can even go back and look at that. They haven't announced when it actually will be available, but it will definitely become more clear about what you're going to be able to do with these phones. And with the Siri improvement, obviously, the whole change of voice probably will be a big deal to some people. And the fact that you can change her. How many different voices? Well, you can do like a man, British, woman, British, Australian, and English accents are both men and women. Interesting. All right. Yeah. So obviously we're seeing some direct competition here. Well, at least trying to get into that whole realm of direct competition with Apple. You can even say that they're not quite yet, because of the fact, like I said, they did start selling these Apple HomePods as speakers versus, these are home, basically, caddies, little assistants, and you're sitting on your counter. That's going to help you get through your day. And now, obviously, we've already been seeing, I think I reported on the fact that you can do all those personalized tasks and such, and go program your Alexa however you want, and not have it have coding skills, whatever. They've already obviously making a lot of updates to the Amazon Echo and Alexa, and then also Google I/O a couple weeks ago did do all those announcements regarding the changes to the Google Assistant and the updates to the Google Assistant. AI is only going to get better. I think that Apple maybe they had to go slower because of the difference in their privacy policy. Like I think I've said it a few times on the show, the fact that Google really is able to mine a bunch of data. And it's able to take that data and churn it, and that's how you get the information for the AI. The more data, the better for this AI device to kind of, go through and churn and learn and do stuff like that, versus Apple isn't really that pressed to do it, I guess, or whatever. They have different policies, different philosophies when it comes to gathering data, and they go more off trends of large groups of people, basically, versus going into every single person's individual data and grabbing it. So I know Google was a company that definitely was not really... They got, whether it was overshadowed by the fact that Facebook got called on the carpet and had a huge fallout regarding a privacy issue, and Google was able to kind of slide under the radar because obviously they didn't address it at all during the I/O, which, I mean, I'm not saying it was a good idea. I'm not saying it was a bad idea, but I know why they didn't do it, because when it comes to this AI stuff and you're ahead of Apple like they are right now for the time being, you're going to do anything you can in order to make your tech better and stay ahead of Apple right now, because that's pretty much where, that's where we're going. This is definitely the biggest. We're not done. This is surely not the last time we're going to talk about all this, all these personal assistants, all this AI stuff that's going to be coming out and evolving throughout this year and the next year and the next year and the next year, because this is only going to get better. And I mean, obviously, everybody's like, oh, we're eventually going to go. Be fighting robots are going to come after us. We're getting there, but slowly but surely, starting with these assistants on our phones and on our home devices, these little home speakers now, or and we'll call them speakers, but smart home devices like the Amazon Echo and the Google Home and the Apple HomePod. All right, go get your HomePod after the update to iOS 12. It'll be better. All right, we'll be right back, and we'll come back with the next segment on the PlayStation and some talk about these new consoles and whether they're going to see new consoles in the near future. I know Xbox has kind of doubled down on the Xbox One, and that that generation of console, they kind of just give you a little facelift, give you the split off the two options. We talked about that a bunch. We're going to do this and go into the PlayStation as well in the next segment, and we'll do that right when we come back.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we are going to get into some more stuff in the tech world. I know Sony is a big deal, obviously, a lot of different fingers and a lot of different pies over there at Sony. They have a big deal, a big market item, and that's the PlayStation, and it is actually coming out. They're reporting that they have expected the PlayStation to reach its the end of its life cycle, quote-unquote, life cycle, when it comes to PlayStation 4. Obviously, that's going to ask, where's PS5? When is PS5 coming out? Oh my gosh, I know Microsoft decided, we're going to take this Xbox One thing. I think Microsoft usually is a little bit slower because, we've had PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4. That's four things. We've had a Microsoft has come out with the Xbox, the original Xbox. We had the Xbox 360, which I feel like lasted forever because it was a great console, to be honest. And then they came out with the Xbox One. That's three consoles. We have four PlayStations. But whether PlayStations usually are rotated through quicker, but Sony, whether it's the whole life cycle thing, but as far as numbers go and sales and everything like that, they are kind of, reaching their same plateaus. The PS3 sold about 80 million units during its run until 2013 when the PS4 came out. That's when the PS4 came out in 2013. That's 5 years. So, that's about right. I think the Xbox One was probably, obviously they came out pretty simultaneously. But this isn't now, we're asking a question. Where's the PS5? You're saying it's done. Now we want the new thing. Obviously, Xbox gave a kind of, I said double down. There's a lot of different words that you could, there are a lot of different ways you could say it because they didn't change the name of it. They changed the tech. They changed the hardware. They changed the software of it. Not quite the software, but more of the hardware stuff and the capabilities. And they were able to create two gaming systems where you can expand the seller market instead of trying to keyhole every single type of gamer into one console. We'll see. That's going to think, is this going to lead the way for a, I don't want to call it copycat, but I'm going to say copycat because that's what I think when I think of Xbox is kind of leading the way regarding this. We're going to give one console to the gamers and we're going to give one console to the, or we're going to give one console to the extreme crazy gamers and we're going to give another console to the more casual gamer. So whether Sony is going to start and PlayStation is going to copycat that is remains to be seen. But there is all these executives from Sony, the PlayStation division, are obviously trying to keep it all close to the vest. They're more putting out, all right, we've reached our sales. We expect. I mean, obviously, they even came out and said that they expect the whole gaming console market to kind of take a downturn in 2023. That's when they expect starting to, you know, not make as much money basically off of these consoles. But they're not, no worries, because they can keep making money off of the PlayStation Plus subscriptions. That's the one thing that Xbox actually kind of got the jump on. They perfected the online gaming better and faster than at PlayStation. I don't think it really cost them, thanks to a couple games that were pretty popular on PlayStation, like Battlefield, and were able to kind of repopulate their online gaming numbers, basically, the amount of people playing online on PlayStation Plus. But Xbox Live is always like, oh, we're going to jump on Xbox, play some Halo, or play some Call of Duty or something like that. I think it's the games that really drive the follower base. Obviously, Halo was a huge thing for Xbox because it was only available on Xbox. And I mean, obviously, I think we're due for a Halo 5 here pretty soon as well, which could revive, or I mean, could be why we saw the Xbox is kind of split off into their own, you know, subsections of gamers, which I thought was an absolute brilliant idea, honestly, because I mean, it's perfect. I have a friend that is a big gamer, games every night, goes online, plays his Fortnite, blah, blah, blah. He got an Xbox One X. And then my brother doesn't game at all. I think he plays like one game, honestly, and then he'll use it for the other apps, whether it's YouTube or Netflix or what have you, or watch a DVD or something, which who does that? And he got the Xbox One S, which we've gone over, and you'll go back and listen to, I think, probably one of my first shows with a technology podcast way back in April, talking about how we have these two Xboxes that are available, and now we'll see if we get two PlayStations and if they split off. I don't think so. It's not really Sony's thing. I think Sony is kind of going to keep trucking forward with this PS5, where they're going to come out with a PS5A and PS5B. I don't know what it's going to be, but the fact that obviously this system is, like I said, it's driven by the games. The PS4 probably will continue to sell for quite a while due to the fact that there are some new games coming out. There's a game, The Last of Us Part 2, and then Spider-Man also coming out, and among others. So the fact that all these games are constantly coming out and people want to be able to have the newest the newest tech or newest console. I know that there was a bunch of these came with the bundles and stuff like that. It was a big deal, where these companies are packaging these consoles up with other games as they come out simultaneously. It was a big deal with the Xbox release, as it always is, because I mean, it's better bang for your buck, and it's make it more appealing to make a purchase, especially a purchase of that magnitude. And it's not, I mean, the thing is, gaming consoles, honestly, when it comes to if we're gonna do a little business and fiscal responsibility section here, gaming systems, honestly, these days, especially Xbox, or I mean, either one, PlayStation 4, Xbox One S or X, if you're gonna spend, I think it's kind of it's almost like a one. I mean, the thing is, these things that have come out since 2013. Obviously, they come out with like newer kind of updated models. You're not getting, if you buy a PS4 now, you're not getting one that was made in 2013. But it's kind of I wouldn't call it an investment per se, but it's definitely not at the price. It's at a price point where you can be okay purchasing it. And when you get a game with it and everything, it makes it a little more worth your while. But it's an entertainment system. It's not just a gaming system where you're going to sit down and plop in front of your TV and play a bunch of games. It has obviously much more than that when it comes to the internet capabilities, Netflix, HBO Go, all your different apps. I've watched live sports on it multiple times. So these gaming systems are not going anywhere, I don't think, especially the fact that they're getting into the all-in-one capabilities where, I mean, I can play Spotify off of my Xbox One. I can go watch whatever, pretty much any most live sporting events, assuming, obviously, you have a cable subscription that you can log in with, as always. Got to have that. But going into more of these numbers that Xbox, that Sony has come out with, obviously, between They have. I did say 2023. I meant 2021 is actually the year. So it's sooner. But yeah, they have predicted a little tick down in the old profit sector when it comes to the game and network services division for Sony, and then that's going to be in a fiscal year of March 31, 2021. So in the next 3 years, we could see the fact that these companies won't be making profits per se off of their gaming consoles, whether they come out with a new one or not. I think it's going to be all these subscriptions, all the subscription stuff, that's going to be much more lucrative for them. So more news out of more stuff out of PlayStation 5. Obviously, we do want to see that if that's coming. There was no during the Sony's E3 2018, there was no other hardware announcements. I mean, that's when we say hardware versus software. Software obviously is all the stuff you download off the ether and put it, and it gets into your you download onto it versus the actual hardware, something physical that you buy. And the PlayStation 5 would definitely be some new hardware, that's for sure. But Sean Layden, the PlayStation executive, who was at the E3 2018, did not include any announcements regarding any more hardware stuff. So obviously, these guys are not worried about the fact that these consoles might be going by the wayside in the next few years. Do you think that you can have a negative impact when it comes to this company and their whole bottom line, but the fact that they can continue building revenue through recurring payments? I mean, people pay, what is Xbox Live? I think Xbox Live is like $40 to $50 a year, I think, or something, times millions of people that pay it. PlayStation Plus is probably, I mean, obviously it would be usually around the same price point. I don't think it has quite the same amount of users, but very close, as they're going to be going off that. Kadera, the PlayStation chief of PlayStation division at Sony, did say that they could still look for some growth from the PlayStation VR and PlayStation View, which is their TV service. So it looks like that Sony also getting into that VR game. We'll see if that. I mean, wouldn't it make sense? I'm actually kind of surprised that we haven't really seen a gaming company that makes these consoles, like Xbox or Microsoft in general. I mean, Facebook runs Oculus, and Oculus just came out with this amazing new headset at a much better price point, and it has the capabilities that we've never seen at that kind of price point. So whether they're going to partner with the Sony or partner with the Microsoft or partner with, I mean, who knows, a Nintendo, and get a headset that is going to be paired with a gaming console. That's the thing. It's got to be the next step, right? That we're going to get. There are VR games out there. There are VR things, but we have not yet seen a Xbox VR or a PlayStation VR device or some sort of consumer item that you can go purchase and turn it in. I mean, where it's compatible, you don't have to buy a specific game for it, versus where they're going to have to wait for these game developers. Obviously, you have to probably wait for the game developers to get an actual game that is compatible with VR, because it's a completely different thing. I mean, imagine playing Battlefield or the new Call of Duty game on VR. And actually holding your gun with your little head handset things with your headset on too as well. So I mean, I think that's where we're going. Obviously, everybody's like, oh, we're gonna get into virtual games where you're just gonna get into a room and it's gonna play. Well, I think the fact that Xbox Kinect didn't work isn't because I think people like to have controllers in their hands. There's some sort of tactile thing of it. Maybe the sensitivity wasn't quite there. But I definitely think that if we get into a VR scenario here where it's gonna be you go to the store, you get an Xbox One VR set. It connects to your Xbox One. It's compatible with all the games you have on there. You can just pop the headset on if you feel like playing it like that. Play it with the headset. Pop it off if you don't. Play it on the TV screen. So, but that's where we're headed. As obviously the Sony is looking like that, they are trying to push those I don't know, is it divisions or arms or sources of income, whatever it might be, projects into getting to VR with these gaming consoles. That's definitely the next step here. In my book, I think maybe Sony will forego a PlayStation 5 in general and just come out with a fully self-sufficient kind of gaming VR headset. So that's my speculation for the day. All right, that'll wrap it up for the second segment of the day today. Here, we're going to come back and do some talk on the Mark Zuckerberg meeting with the lawmakers from the UK regarding the Cambridge Analytica scandal. I know that Cambridge Analytica has now filed for bankruptcy here in the United States as they continue to reel and deal with the fallout from this issue, from this big scandal that happened last month. So we'll do that when we come back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. As we will be beginning this segment with some talk on Mark Zuckerberg. He actually did go to Europe. He went to Brussels and met with the EU Parliament. So there was some news out saying that he was going to meet with the United Kingdom Parliament, whether that was going to be over a television or a video call or a live chat, but I'm going to call it some sort of an online call, video call. But this one, actually, he was going to Brussels to meet with the EU, and he actually went in person and received another grilling, just like he did from the lawmakers in the United States. I mean, I don't know if it was quite the same comedic outcome we saw from those politicians. In the Congress for our own politicians here in the United States, talking about all their stuff to do on Facebook. But obviously, the EU was quite interested in what had to be done because of some stuff that is linked to their country and the fact that Cambridge Analytica makes it sound like UK. But then also there was the linking to the Russian government or Russia in general, and the fact that they could have made some differences or made some influence on the Trump campaign. Obviously, Cambridge Analytica being a British political consultancy did work with Trump campaign and did acquire all those users data. And then that's another thing that their problem was the fact that of the 87 million users that were hacked into, all the information gotten from their profiles, 2.7 million were from the European Union. So they definitely are going to be involved in that as the European Parliament's president did meet with Mark Zuckerberg, and he met with the entire parliament in general, as well as a meeting in their general assembly. So Antonio Tajani is the European Parliament president, and he did go out on Twitter, and I'll quote what he said on his Twitter in his tweet. This was actually just from early this morning on Tuesday morning. So obviously them being way ahead, they were meeting today early in Brussels, in a morning in Brussels. So about 7 hours or so ago, they were meeting. So this was being between Tahani uh, and uh, Zuckerberg. He says, I personally discussed with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg the possibility of web streaming meeting with him. I am glad to announce he accepted this new request. Great news for EU citizens. I thank him for respect shown towards EP meeting tomorrow from 1815 to 1930. So that means their meeting tomorrow is from 415 to 5 or to, no, I can't do math, 615 to 730. So that's going to be probably sometime this later this morning. So it'll be happening pretty soon, obviously. They did ask if they could do some sort of web stream meeting. I think that he's actually going to be coming in and doing a meeting behind closed doors. So, and it's going to be streamed online as well. Due to the fact that everybody was like, wait, you guys, you went in front of the U.S. Congress and had this whole charade on TV, and now you're going to go talk to Parliament in Europe, and we don't get to watch it. Obviously, there was definitely some public outcry under that one, as there were some Parliament members that felt a little pressure, as obviously they did come out and announce they were no longer doing that, a meeting that would be was private and only attended by select members. Many people were also saying that there was a leader of the political group, ALDE, was saying that if it was behind closed doors, that he would not actually attend the meeting. And Zuckerberg did have to come out and apologize as well. He had some pre-statements coming out and saying, obviously, he had his testimony with the the U.S. Congress, and the fact that there was a leak in the testimony as well. But he did limit those questions to get back to the whole point with the fact that the company's policies, with the fact that he had that leak way back with Cambridge Analytica, not good. Obviously, stressing the same kind of, I mean, I feel like this is kind of just a repetition for Zuckerberg having to go to Europe, whether they're asking him different questions or not, or kind of being, I don't know, European politician, American politician. You can do your own math there and try and figure out who. I don't want to talk about sanity or anything here, but I want to talk about whose questions do you think are going to be more pointed or be actually more more relevant in general. There is a statement that has been released that Zuckerberg is expected to make, and it's quoted the fact, this is from AlJazeera.com. Saying Al Jazeera is reporting that Zuckerberg is expected to say that he deeply believes in what they're doing, and they address these challenges. I know they look back and view the helping people connect and giving people a voice as a positive force here in Europe, around the world. So obviously he's still understanding that a big chunk of his user base is from Europe, as Facebook obviously is a multinational, and the fact that Zuckerberg knows that is probably a good thing, is that he's going to be having to be called on the carpet a couple more times here, well, just across the ocean, Atlantic Ocean, a little bit here. As far as what Facebook has been doing since the scandal, they have suspended 200 apps in a way to go in and talk about the fact they're setting up this auditing. I don't want to call it a program, but definitely ramping up their auditing services and creating a service or a, just, you know, a task force where they're basically going to be going through and auditing every developer and every app and whatever is going to be used on Facebook and submitting it for review. And whatever company does not allow this to happen will be flushed out immediately. I know that there's been even reports saying that they could do on-site visits of these companies, the developers are trying to get on Facebook, and whether or not they are legit or not, because I mean this is a big deal, and we don't need it. I mean, Zuckerberg now is going to a foreign court, a foreign entity, and being going to deal with other stuff across the country, across on the other side of the world, obviously, and having to deal with them. Obviously, there's going to be a live stream. I know, I don't know. You probably can go get it It's going to, by the time this is this, actually, with the time difference, it might be happening just as I put this up. So, I know there's going to be a live stream on it after, like I said, all that. I mean, it's supposed to be about transparency here. This is the whole point of this entire thing. And it's going to be the fact that they were thinking about doing a closed-door meeting. I'm very surprised. I'm not surprised at all that that's going to be happening. So 12:20 p.m. So, yeah. Actually, yeah. So right when I – whether that's – is that Eastern time? I'm assuming that's Eastern time. So 12:20 p.m. Eastern time, that's 9:20 Pacific. Yeah, it'll be probably going on right as I put up this live for you guys to listen to. So I'm sure there's going to be some sort of recording, or whether the fact that it's going to be made made public, if you have to watch it live or not. I'm sure you could just so search and find a recording of whatever transpired there in Brussels. And it must be pretty interesting. Obviously, there's going to be a big contingency there, whether it's going to be a select parliament or Tajani will allow everybody else to get in there. Remains to be seen. Obviously, they are going to be talking about the fact that obviously European Union will be releasing this sweeping data protection law on Friday, actually. So it's going to be getting into that's the thing about the European Union. We're not talking about one country here. We're talking about a bunch, and the union doesn't mess around. So this is going to be implemented across all of Europe, and it's preparing to put in these new protections in place, as it's going to be giving the customers themselves more access and control about what their details are being used. I know Facebook actually even put up a tool on your Facebook accounts where you can actually individually go in and uncheck or deselect certain apps or services that are using your have access to your information. I know that whenever you go sign in with Facebook, usually those are legit apps, big companies. Obviously, you're signing in with Facebook just to bypass their own sign in thing. It's like, just take my information. But if you're not using that anymore, if you already know which Simpsons character you are because they had to use your information to do that whole test and everything and take your information from your profile, then you can uncheck that one as well. And those people won't be able to do that. As far as in Europe, the General Data Protection Regulation, that's what it's called, will go into effect on Friday. And like I said, this is a all for the consumers. And its purpose will be to obviously update these rules that have been in place since 95 that were clearly long before most of these breaches, leaks, and hacks have been more commonplace around our world, whether you're in the United States or over there in Europe. So definitely something that they've needed to do since maybe yesterday or the day before or maybe 3 years ago. But definitely when it comes to these new rules, Europeans as a whole will be in more control and have more knowledge about what their personal data will be doing. And the fact that this is kind of a big shift, the fact they're taking a bunch, the kind of European Commission saying, we don't trust you tech companies anymore. We're really going to put in all these rules and measures to bring all the little fonts and all the fine print up to the forefront and make our users more knowledgeable about what is actually happening with their information and with their phone what they give access to. I know that there's going to be a bunch of changes when it comes to what these companies that are going to have to do with whether it's companies that are based in the United States or not. I know Google is going to have some big changes due to the fact that these rules will definitely get into what they have to deal with, as they obviously are involved greatly overseas with a lot of different phones. You know, all the Android stuff going over there as well. Obviously, Google has tens of millions of users over there, so does Facebook, and they're going to have to change their language. Obviously, this new law will require the individual to give consent to store and process all this data, whether it's personal or not, I guess, whether it's anything on the phone, and it will be made. Requests must be made clear in clear and plain language, as according to this report. This is from CNN reporting on the fact that these new changes will really be affecting some companies here in the United States as well, especially Google and Facebook. Obviously, Facebook being the main issue here, with Zuckerberg going to see another governing body, see another parliament, going to parliament in Europe. So we'll come back now with some kind of grab bag last segment, as we're going to go through and talk about some different updates and reports from around the tech world. So we'll do that in just a moment when we come back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we are going to finish off this week with some updates and news from just around the tech world, everything. We're going to cover it all, as we're going to go into some Fortnite stuff, as Battle Royale has made a big addition. They have added the jetpacks. It was delayed for a few months, but now long awaited in Fortnite Battle Royale, you are able to use the jetpacks, and they'll be available on PS4, Xbox One, PC, iOS, as part of all that 4.2 stuff. I know the patch just came out, and it'll be the updated, obviously. I don't think they're going to be around very long, but they're available now with that update. All right, some new stuff. Instagram has announced with their update, and they announced it, but it's definitely available. It's a new feature on the update for Instagram. You can mute certain people. So, I mean, say like your aunt or your mom or your sister or your friend post too much on Instagram, or your buddy wanted you to follow his photography account or something, and he only has a certain amount of followers, but he posts so much and it clogs up your feed and all you see are his pictures. You can actually mute people, and their posts won't come up on your feed, and their stories won't come up on your main page either. But you'll still follow them. So obviously, following it's a big deal. People have to have their followers. Obviously, I need to have my people that are watching me. But how many of your followers muted you? That's gonna be the biggest question. You never know what's gonna happen now. Is obviously. Well, not obviously, but it is the fact that these muting, you're not going to be notified if you get muted. And if you mute somebody, they won't know about it. They'll still think you're following them. You just won't be bothered by their barrage of posts. So Instagram finally making that change, obviously, long awaited. Talk about a long awaited change, but it's here now. Everybody, the OnePlus 6, I don't know, this is a phone that's not available on Verizon or Sprint, but it is on AT&T and T-Mobile, which, I mean, sooner rather than later, obviously, nothing is set in stone, nothing's going to happen. We're still waiting on the whole Time Warner and AT&T merger. But Sprint and T-Mobile could become one company pretty soon here. But yeah, this OnePlus 6 is now available to pre-order and on the OnePlus website as more phones. I mean, it's just every time I talked about the other red phone that was coming out, the one that's supposed to have like 4D or 3D like pixelization with like the projector or something like that. But it's weird. It's obviously this OnePlus 6 is supposed to be a more affordable rival to the iPhone X and the Samsung Galaxy X, which I feel like is definitely taking a step back. Some more stuff out there. I know that there is a report saying that the Sega PS3 Yakuza titles are actually going to be remastered for PS4. So I know we talked about PS4 in the second segment today, but there's going to be a new there's news that we're going to have some games coming through and being available to be run on the PS4. So for those who were fans of the Yakuza series on PS3, you now can use it on your PS4 just fine. All right, kind of a slow day in tech, honestly, as we're going to have some stuff coming out, obviously, in the next couple weeks. Obviously, we're going to have that big Apple event kind of be happening, talking about their updates with Siri. But, whether it's going to be that going to be a groundbreaking thing that we saw with Google I.O. or not, but definitely going to be a big deal coming up in the next couple of weeks here. There is an update. It's an update. I keep saying update. It's me report out from Samsung, and they are going to be opening a gigantic research AI center. So it's going to be for AI research. Whether you're going to try to data harvest or whether you're going to do for that, but it is going to be at Cambridge, of all things. But with Samsung, obviously a Korean conglomerate got lots of money, can go out and purchase some buildings and some land, and the Samsung AI Center will be out of the University of Cambridge and will be run by the professor Andrew Blake, one of the leading academics in Britain when it comes to AI. All right, so he actually did previously lead the Microsoft research their laboratory in Cambridge he's also been the former director of the Alan Turing Institute. So the guy's definitely got the pedigree to be able to head something like that. All right, Sony has actually released more expensive version of a notebook, basically. So they released a 10-inch display tablet that is basically digital paper. It only holds about, I think it says 16 gigs, but only 11 gigs is available to the user. And it's supposed to be like a normal tablet, except it has the electronic ink screen. So it will be mostly for taking down notes or for whatever may have you. It's kind of interesting the fact that they're making a product solely for that. But I think we're just trying to save paper, people. Trying to save some trees and not have people have to carry around big notebooks, because I'll have it in your tablet. But you still get to write it down, and it's a big thing for people, I think, especially for students and stuff. The whole idea of writing things down will help you better remember certain things. All right. As we get through here, there's reports out from Bitcoin. Obviously, there's some stuff with these cryptocurrencies. Obviously, we had another another cryptocurrency, I think it's called Verge. They had their blockchain actually was hacked. So I talked about blockchain last week. Now we're getting more reports saying, obviously these blockchains need to be made correctly, obviously, in order to be secure. So if there is a faulty chain, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like a chain of link, like chain link, basically. It's like if there's a weak link, then you're gonna break the chain. So whether it's gonna be happening further or more with Bitcoin or whatever you may have, there's going to be there's probably some more news on the future, or this is a wake-up call, and everybody's gonna start locking down their blockchains. All right. As we look through here, I mean, obviously, we get a minute-to-minute updates, and it's just kind of like, okay, what's going on? Obviously, we talked about the OnePlus. We talked about Instagram has been on the news. I know Amazon now is going to be providing police stations with facial recognition systems, and it's going to be in real time. So whether it's going to be all through cameras, obviously with CCTVs and all that kind of stuff, you can put things and people can, you'll find and facial recognize some people. Obviously, this is an Amazon project. It's called Recognition with a K, Recognition. But it's going to be used by the police in Orlando and Washington County in Oregon. So that's what it's being used for right now, And it could be expanded in the future. Obviously, there's cameras all over the city, and it's kind of what the whole point is. You put a person that's in you're looking for somebody, it's basically helping with these computer APB things, where it's going to be a fugitive or somebody you're trying to catch, and their face, you have their face recognition information in the database already, and you can put it into the basically reverse, and these cameras will start looking for them, and can help people track them down. Obviously, there's going to be some pushback regarding people who think that the government is overreaching and that there shouldn't be people being, you know, scanned every time they walk down the street. I know that there's been some backlash, obviously, saying that there's the fact that the people shouldn't be thinking they're being watched by the government while they're walking on the street. But, you know, when it comes to these days, when we're all seeing a lot of different issues all around our country regarding violence and stuff like that, we probably need to have a little more safeguards in place in order to make ourselves feel a little more safe. I think it's obviously ACLU is going to get involved regarding civil issues, and the people who are going to feel like this is a civil issue, then yeah, but it's going to be facial recognition. And if you're not in the system, then you're not really going to get caught up in it. And I think it's going to be making things a lot more streamlined, and people could be, and they're going to be more exact. Honestly, it's all computerized, and the people aren't going to be mistaken. We're not going to have professional athletes, this has happened before. A professional tennis player was stopped on the street in New York because he was mistaken for a criminal. They thought it was somebody. He was wearing a similar. I mean, this is how cops used to manhunt people based off height, weight, skin color, and what they're wearing. I mean, come on, not by a very enhanced digitization of their face or facial features, which is what all different. Anchor points on your face, which is what facial recognition uses, and we'll be using it to better pinpoint people and get the right person quicker, instead of ruining somebody's day or creating a court case that doesn't need, or a police report that doesn't need to be created because a cop got a little antsy and started questioning or tackled the wrong guy, basically. Which is kind of sucky. Obviously, this should help that. And we're gonna see both sides of it as it comes out. So obviously, the fact that we're already seeing it in Orlando and in Washington means that it probably will be widespread pretty soon. We have a new app coming out for emails called Spark. It's an email app that is going to be available for companies to use and to collaborate on email. So if it's a team email being sent by multiple people to a big group or whatever may have you be, this is going to be a email app that's going to be customizable. It's been out for a little bit. This is Spark 2.0 now, as it's going to be a collaborative features. Obviously, team members now can come and put their own touch on an email that's going to be obviously hopefully whether it's for work or not, they're going to be sending it out and having everybody involved on that. All right, lastly, really quick, I want to talk about just these little thing. I know there's a company, it's called Scuf. It's a gaming, they created a PS4 controller that is wireless, one of the rare non-Sony marketed controllers you can get that is wireless, and it also has customizable buttons on the side, which actually is pretty cool. It did actually have wireless play before with the SCUF model controllers, but this is the first time. This is the first time we've seen one with customizable buttons, and this is also the first officially licensed third-party controller for the U.S. and Canada. So yeah, it is going to actually be officially licensed by Sony. All right. I'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have gone through a bunch of stuff regarding Siri and the revolution that we're seeing with these personal assistants and the AI stuff. We talked about PlayStation and possibly the Xbox double down with the two consoles coming out, with the two different ones, the two different gamers, and there's now Sony's chiefs are saying that PlayStation is on its last legs and its life cycle could be ending, and honestly, whole games could be gaming consoles could be ending in general as we get smaller and smaller. And everybody downloads their games offline, and now nobody really even has discs barely anymore, as we're getting into a new generation of gaming, and then obviously VR is going to be involved in that too. And then we talked about Mark Zuckerberg and his meeting with the European Parliament for the EU, and how now it will be live streamed. Before, it was supposed to be just a video chat that was going to be had in private with select Parliament members, but now it'll be live for everyone to see. So I think this will be, it'll be either happening right as this is going to be put up, and just ending as this is made public. So you can probably go watch a replay of it wherever you get your tech news from. I'm sure it's gonna be all over the place. All right, we'll be back on Thursday with some more tech talk, so we'll see you there. Everybody have a good week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.